During the month of November, we continue to pray for our deceased loved ones and invite our brothers and sisters in heaven to pray for us. It's a beautiful time of the year to better get to know the lives of the saints and to learn from their example. One Franciscan saint we celebrate in November is Saint Agnes of Assisi. She is the younger sister to Saint Clare, which many of us are very familiar with. Well, back with me today to talk more about Franciscan moments and the lives of the saints is Father Dan Petit. He is a Franciscan friar. Great to have you back with us, Father Dan. Good morning.
Good morning, Dean Marie. Good to see you too.
Well, we've had a chance to talk about some of the November saints. Last time we visited, we were talking about Father John Scotus, who really had this ability to share in his time the truth of the Immaculate Conception. We honor him this month. But I'd like to hear about Saint Agnes. Now, she comes up this month, and we know a lot maybe about Saint Clare, but take us back to their lives as sisters, how they got to know Saint Francis, and how did Saint Agnes come to be a religious?
Well, Saint Agnes is the younger sister to Clare. She was born about 1197 or 98, somewhere in there, and died within 3 months of her sister in 1253. So they were very close. And Clare, of course, as you would know, left in March of 1212 to join Francis down at the Portiuncula. 8 days later, Agnes followed. And at this time, Francis did not have a good reputation in Assisi because he had just stripped himself naked before the bishop to become a follower of Christ. And most of the townspeople thought he was crazy because he had a very lucrative career ahead of him as a cloth merchant. His father was wealthy. He could have had wealth and all the fun of the being wealthy, and he said no to it all. Clare, when she left, that was a blow to her father, who was a nobleman in Assisi, very wealthy again. She was born into wealth, unlike Francis was. Francis's father earned his wealth as a merchant, but Clare was actually nobility, so they had old money. And it was enough that Clare left and joined Francis, but when Agnes left, that was enough for the father. He got upset and sent his brother Menaldo to fetch St. Agnes, who was at that time held up at St. Angelo in Ponso, which was a convent of Benedictine nuns. Both Clare and Agnes were there. That's where Francis put them temporarily. So Menaldo comes. He's got some knights with him who are like that's like Team Six Navy SEAL type warriors, and they're going to take her and they're going to bring her back. They left Clare, but they were going to go after Agnes, which they did. And miraculously, St. Clare began to pray, and Agnes became so heavy, the knights couldn't even lift her anymore, and they had to leave her behind. And they rolled away, and that was the end of their challenge to Clare and Agnes together. And soon after that, of course, Francis then moved them into San Damiano, which was one of the churches he rebuilt, and the two of them began the life together of what has become known as the Poor Clares, the community of Poor Clares. And other noblemen joined them, and they became rather large over time, as we know.
What an interesting story. And I think I've heard of that story recounted before, that Agnes became so heavy, and through the intercession, we talk about the intercession of the lives of the saints. Now here's Clare, and she's just praying that her sister, but what a faith that Clare had displayed at that time of this trust in God. This is where we're supposed to be. This is our vocation, that the Lord intervened in such a way.
Right. And, the amazing thing was this particular family of noble family really did take its hit, because Clare's cousin was Rufino, who was one of the three close companions of Francis. So, this family, they weren't going to go down without a fight. And fortunately for us and in the church, they were all able to succeed in pursuit of their vocation with Francis.
Right. Right. And what do we know just about the lives of the sisters and just their relationship again with the friars as they continue to grow and other women would start to come and really seek this way of life, really turning their whole lives over to Christ? What became of this community?
Well, it was at the time it was called the Community of St. Damien of the Poor Ladies. Now, ladies, that means these were noble women. Ladies of society were noble women. You think of high society. Well, that was most of the membership of the Poor Clare Monastery, or San Damiano Monastery. Agnes soon became the abbess of the monastery there at San Damiano in 1219, just 7 years after joining. She became the mother superior of the place. And eventually, Francis and the brothers, they kept taking care of them. They would send a priest down, have mass for them and the like. But Francis asked Agnes if she would go to Monticelli, which is just outside of Florence, to begin a new community. And she did, and she did leave her sister, never to see her again, this side of the grave, of course. Mm. And we do have a letter surviving from 1230 of Agnes writing to Claire, and it's very touching how Agnes expresses her longing to see her sister and to see the other sisters of San Damiano, whom she misses terribly and is longing to see them and everything. It's a very moving letter. I've got a couple of sections of it here where she talks about this. She says, "Therefore, you should know, mother, that my soul and body suffer great distress and immense sadness, that I am burdened and tormented beyond measure and am almost incapable of speaking because I have been physically separated from you and my other sisters, with whom I had hoped to live and die in this world." Mm. And, you know, there's a real longing in Agnes for her sister, and she wouldn't get back to Claire until 1253 when she helped at the funeral.
Wow.
So it was a real sacrifice for her to leave San Damiano, go to Monticelli, where she did found another monastery. She also founded one at Padua. She did go and found other new foundations of the Poor Clares. So she was very active and quite the servant, and of course, a saint as well.
Right. It sounds like a beautiful saint to really guide women who are discerning religious life. I mean, really, right. The joys and sorrows that come from any vocation, right? They come, but we, through our love of Christ and with the intercession, I think, of the saints, they help us during those difficult moments in our vocation.
Yeah, and that's the thing I think about the saints. We forget, we too often, I think, forget how truthful and honest they were in facing these kinds of difficulties. I mean, Agnes didn't have Wi-Fi where she could distract herself. And, you know, no, she was very in touch with this longing. She missed her sisters. She missed being in the familiar setting of Assisi. And was in like a foreign land, like say Abraham going away from his homeland. And that's something sometimes, oftentimes, that our Lord does ask of us as servants. You know, he does ask us to forsake family and the comfort of what we might have thought would be our life for the sake of a new adventure.
Right. Franciscan Friar Father Dan Petit is with me today. Father, I want to talk with you more about another special feast day that honors our Blessed Mother during the month of November, but I am coming up to a break. Can you hold on the line with me and stay with me? We'll continue our conversation in the next half hour.
Sure thing.
This is Dina Marie, and I'm back with Father Dan Petit, Franciscan friar and member of the Third Order Regular. We've been talking about the life of St. Agnes of Assisi, whose feast day we celebrate in the month of November. But another feast day I wanted to talk with Father Dan about is this beautiful Feast of the Presentation. And this is to remember Our Lady, the Presentation of the Blessed Mother. Sometimes we think about the Presentation of Our Lord, which we meditate on in the Joyful Mysteries of the Rosary. But this is the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Father Dan, when we hear that phrase and we recall that time in Our Lady's life, you know, what can we think about? We don't have things written in scripture, you know, that talk about our Blessed Mother as a young child. We have things in tradition. We talk about her parents, Anne and Joachim. But what would have been happening for a Jewish girl, you know, at her day to be presented to the temple? And what does this mean for the family and the relationship to God and to the church?
Well, the source we have for this particular feast day is, it's called the Proto-Evangelium of St. James, which is really not an, it didn't make the canon, obviously, in scripture, as you mentioned, it's not in scripture. And it dates from probably just before 200 AD, so it's an older document as well, but it testifies to how Joachim and Anne decided to consecrate Mary to God after they had been visited with the special nature of her coming into the world. She was going to be favored by God in a very unique way. And with that, they decided to bring her to the temple because it wasn't simply to present her to God and then take her home, but they actually ended up, according to the tradition, leaving her there. Because when Mary was six, Joachim died, and when she was 8 years old, her mother died, and she would have been there under the care of the temple until the age of 12, when she moved in with Joseph. You know, was very young, of course, and became his wife. So this is a kind of a presentation that is a bit unique in that sense.
Mm-hmm. I think it's beautiful. And that idea of presentation, or you talked about, we're going to consecrate our daughter to the Lord. What is that word consecration? And we hear that so often in Catholic language, but you know, their hearts and their desire for this child who would become the mother of God.
Yeah, you know, that is something. Consecration, of course, the church still has its books, its book of consecrations and blessings. So, for example, we consecrate altars. That's setting this particular table aside for purely holy purposes dedicated to God. So you wouldn't ever take a consecrated altar, for example, and say have a picnic at it with like food and baked beans and hot dogs. No, this is strictly set aside for God. That's what consecration means. It means to be set aside. And so I'm a consecrated religious. My life is dedicated to God in that sense as well. Well, Mary being consecrated, her life too would be dedicated totally to God as a result of what Joachim and Anne did this day.
Right. And, you know, when you mentioned, Father, at least the tradition that Mary would have had so many years in the temple, in prayer, reading scripture, learning at a very early age, I can only imagine, how to read and pray with scripture. I mean, just, I think that's a beautiful image to meditate on Mary's early childhood.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, literally being brought up on the scriptures, you know, being taught the scriptures, you're there at the temple under their care, which is, you know, really a holy place of prayer. It's the house of God, and that's your environment for growing up. I mean, it is remarkable. It's not like, say, baptism, like today, for example, we would have that. That would be our consecration. Every one of us were brought to the baptismal font, but then we go back home.
Mm-hmm.
But in her case, she was there. It's like she stayed at the church and came under the care of the rabbis and the nurses that were there at the time to take care of her and bring her up in the Word of God.
Right. I mean, we can just imagine that could be such a beautiful way to prepare Mary so that when that angel did arrive at that moment that we hear, she has... her heart is really conformed completely to Christ. I mean, it's conformed to her Lord. It's conformed to do whatever the Lord wants. It's beautiful.
Right. It is beautiful. And I think the model from the Old Testament that we could find for this kind of presentation would be when Hannah brought Samuel You know, Hannah was barren. She has the vision from the angel, you will bear a son. She brought him, her baby boy, to Eli. And of course, he was brought up in the temple. Samuel was, and became a great prophet, again, with a great mission from God, just as Mary's mission was tremendous, tremendously great as well.
Right. We're talking with Father Dan Petit as we recognize the month of November, the month of All Souls and All Saints, the Feast of the Presentation of the Blessed Mother. Will there be a particular way in which the Franciscans will recognize this holy day with liturgy, just how you really honor our Blessed Mother on feast days like this?
Well, in the calendar, of course, the Roman calendar, this is a memorial. It is not like a feast or a solemnity. So in terms of celebration, it would be celebrated along with the Universal Church as a memorial. But interestingly enough, Pius V in the 16th century suppressed this particular feast day. So it wasn't in the Roman Missal of Trent. And it was, and he was a Dominican pope, and of course a saint and a great pope at that. Pius V was, but it was the Franciscan Sixtus V that reinstated it as the Holy Father. In 1585, he reintroduced it into the Roman calendar, the Presentation of Mary. So it's really something that has persisted since then in the ancient missals, and of course came into the new missal of 1970. So as Franciscans, we'll celebrate this as a memorial, just like the rest of the church will, but it is a time for us to meditate on our own consecration and what it means to be consecrated and given over to God and dedicated to the Word of God and listening to the Word of God and becoming an instrument of, as Mary did, giving birth to Christ in our world. I mean, that's the purpose of consecration, is to bring Christ forward in our lives for the sake of benefiting others. So it is a real time to meditate on Mary's reception of the word and then communicating that to the world.
Right. And I guess what you're saying, Father Dan, it's an invitation for us to look at our own consecration to the Lord. How am I living that life out today? What's my vocation? How am I really bringing about that love of God purely? And the Blessed Mother can be a guide to us in that.
Well, you know, it's so true, because that text of Romans 10, verse 17, where Paul says, faith comes through hearing. Boy, we need to listen. We need to be able to hear the word of God and try to do so without editing it, which is a lot of times what we'll do. The more difficult phrases of scripture we'll edit out and filter in our own mind's eye. But we need to hear the full counsel of God, the full truth of what Jesus is trying to communicate to us. And of course, Mary did that. She received the full word of God. You know, I think sometimes today we might have a temptation to try to change the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, into a butter knife. But we need to learn how to listen to the word in order for it to properly cleanse us, but then also help us bring others to Christ as well in our mission within the world.
Beautiful. Father Dan Petit with us again, Franciscan friar, helping us to celebrate this beautiful month of November. Saint Agnes and our Blessed Mother, pray for us. Thank you, as always, Father Dan, for spending some time with us, sharing with us a little bit of your Franciscan spirituality. Would you help us close, leading us in prayer?
Sure. Let's pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the examples of St. Agnes, St. Clare, and our Blessed Mother. We thank you for all the ways they teach us how to live out our life of baptism and consecration to you. Help us to have the ears open to hear your word and to put it into practice. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And may the Blessed Mighty God send upon you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Dan. Have a blessed month.
Thank you. You too, Dina Marie. Good to be with you.